This afternoon, I want to deal with this, the English Bible. How did it get here? There's one last aspect from the Scriptures that we want to take a look at before we get into thinking and considering and trying to understand some about how the Lord brought the Word of God to us in English. And we've touched upon these kind of things from the standpoint of the Lord's Word being eternal. The Lord has spoken. His Word is eternal, as testified by the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus in Luke said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So his word is eternal. But from the standpoint of the Scriptures and to understand about the Lord bringing his word unto a number, I was going to say innumerable, but I'm not able to say that from my ignorance and lack of knowledge, but for to many, many languages, the Lord has brought his word over the centuries and millennia. We need to understand about the Lord's promise to preserve his word. The preservation of the word of God is a key thing. Yes, his word is eternal and it is settled in heaven, and some might be thought to think that, well, they're in heaven. The word of God is at hand. It's real. It is eternal and there. But let's back up and consider about his word here on the earth, okay? And to understand about his promise to preserve his word upon this earth for his purpose, which we'll bring out. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 105. Let's start here and consider what the psalmist declares in Psalm 105. And I think this is a good verse to start off with and consider. Brother Mark, he likes to look into genealogies and that, and I'm more interested now than I was when I was younger. It's neat and interesting to take a look at genealogies. Look at what the Lord says here in verse number 8 of this psalm. See, and the context is for the psalmist is regarding Israel. But it says here, he hath remembered his covenant forever. Well, we know that the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was given unto Israel directly, and the Lord showed and proved and told about things to come in that. He hath remembered his covenant forever. But see, then there was the outlook of the new covenant, the New Testament, that was going to be taken care of by his son. Because it was proved with Israel that mankind, we just can't keep up the end of any deal or any covenant with God. So the Lord showed that he's got to do it all. And that's the reason salvation is of the Lord. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. And I finally looked it up, Brother Mark, about the time of a generation. And it makes sense. I was just ignorant about that beforehand. But a generation is considered 20 to 30 years. The time from which a child would be born and would grow up and come to adulthood and would then begin to have their own children. That's the timing of a generation. And of course, we know in millennia gone by that, and especially before the flood, that those generations were much greater in time. Some of those that are listed there in the Scriptures didn't have children until they were in their 40s or 50s or even older than that. But in our day, if we considered a generation to be 20 to 30 years, the Lord has promised, he remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. We understand from the Scripture that the age of the earth, the time that mankind has been here, is somewhere around 6,000 years, give or take. That's what the Scripture just bears witness to, not millions and billions of years. But 6,000 years, the Scripture is plain about that and the genealogies that are given. And so if we take that time of a generation being 20 to 30 years, from the time that folks are born, they grow up, and then begin to have children of their own, up against 6,000 years, how many generations have there been? Well, the math is simple. If we take 6,000 years and say that a generation is 20 years, we've ticked off about 300 generations. That's a long way from 1,000, isn't it? If we say that a generation is 30 years, well, that means there's only been 200. And so here the Lord tells us, and the psalmist declares unto us, that the Lord has remembered his covenant forever. And this word
that he commanded, it to 1,000 generations.
He's commanded it to such. He's remembered it. And really, in the scheme of that, we haven't even got started good. And look what's said there. The Lord just didn't speak his word so it would be spoken and it would be there in heaven and eternity and all that. But he commanded it to whom? Well, to mankind. When the Lord gave the Ten Commandments back in Exodus 20, was he just giving the Ten Commandments to Israel? No, that moral law was for all of mankind. And you know what? That law still stands today for you and me. Even as the children of God, even in this church age, even in this time of the Gentiles, or even as is said at times, this time of grace, those Ten Commandments still stand. That's what we're to abide by. So the Word of God has come to us, not just declared out there in the ether, but it has come to mankind. God has not forgotten it. And we are a long way away from 1,000 generations yet. Psalm 119, which we have taken a look at too, and looking about aspects of the Word of God. Psalm 119, we come to verse 89. And we looked about it this from the standpoint of the Word of God as being the same and settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And so we ask again, that word going out, it's not just the Lord speaking to himself or speaking to the angels, but he has given his word unto us that we might know about him, that we might know about ourselves, that we might know about whence we came and where we are going, that we might know about our sin. And we might know about his salvation. And that word is settled. It's never going to change, as we've seen. And so if this is given to 1,000 generations, if this word is settled, this word given unto mankind is settled in heaven as part of the working of God amongst men, is there any question that it would not be preserved for men upon the earth? No. If he's doing this, he will preserve it. One thing that we're going to look at and consider as we get into this and get into some of the nuts and bolts about the Word of God and how we've ended up and had it, the Lord's brought it to us in English, is to understand the whole, and this is beyond me. I just try to hang on to it with by my fingernails and tips of my fingers. But to understand the development of languages on the earth, it's a remarkable thing. I mean, it's just, it is just phenomenal what the Lord has done, where he confounded the languages there at Babel, and then from there, all the languages of the earth ultimately have come. I think it was last year about the origins of English. And really, in the scheme of the time of the earth, English is a late comer language. It really is. And the Lord has given us such. But we need to have understanding and wisdom that English is not the only language in the world. We may get the thinking that. We may think that English is the only language of the world. Might even think that Abraham and Adam spoke English, but it's not so. And I'm thankful for English, what little bit I can understand about it and try to speak it. But the Lord has done this preservation of His Word through time and to many, many of the languages of the world. And so the path of English, which is very important to you and me, is only one vein of the Lord's working in that. You know the passage in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and the context there and the vantage point is a Jew speaking to the Jews, the book of Hebrews, different times, in different ways, some by vision, some by as we've seen recently when in trance, as the scripture tells about different brethren, the Spirit of the Lord speaking to them. He spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, different times, different ways, but through His men, hath in these last times spoken to us by His Son. So our focus here is always on how the Lord and who the Lord used to speak to us. But I want us to think about this afternoon and consider more strongly about who has been spoken to. Mankind. The nation of Israel has been spoken to by the Lord through the prophets of the Lord. The Old Testament is not only for the Jews. It's there. God's working in them to show the world about all the things that we need to know. And what the prophets say is good for us. We've been taking a look at that in our study of the minor prophets, right? All these things happen for examples, the apostle writes in 1 Corinthians 10, to that church at Corinth, which is a Gentile church, namely, happened unto them for examples unto us upon whom the ends of the world are come. We can learn from the Old Testament things that you and I would, that we need to know today. About our Lord and about us and about our pursuit and our service and our worship and such. God, who's spoken to the fathers by the prophets in these last days, has spoken unto us by His Son. And so the Lord, having spoken to us, to mankind, by the Lord Jesus Christ, could it be possible that His Word would go away on the earth? Not at all. Not at all. Now, I'm not saying that the Word of God has necessarily come to every person and every soul. But the Lord has made some promises that, you know, when the Lord makes a promise, we just can't take it and just push it away. We've got to hear what the Lord says regarding it. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. If our Lord's Word is settled in heaven forever, from whence it came and His purpose, His Word came from heaven, His purpose was to give His Word to mankind, and would it not be available to and among mankind as long as mankind lives? And the answer is yes. Now, there will be those that maybe have not heard the Word of God in the end of this age, as it comes to the end of the age. But you remember what it says in the book of the Revelation? There's going to be some angels proclaiming the gospel from the heavens to the inhabitants of the earth during those times and years. Isn't that something? The Word of God has been given to mankind, and He has and will preserve it. Here in Psalm 119, verse number 160, it says, Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. You know, won't it be a testament, the millennial reign, won't it be a testament for 1,000 years in the glory of the Lord Jesus ruling and reigning upon the earth that the word of God is true? It will be, won't it? The Lord will rule the heathen nations by His word. and there'll be a blessing upon the earth for 1,000 years that has never been seen since Eden. His word is going to be and has been preserved by him. We come over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23. And so, you know, as we go and we continue on in this with the Lord's help and trying to understand about how the Lord brought the Scripture to us in English, you know, we need to be aware of the naysayers, the doubters, the changers, the ones with motive. There's a whole list of those that do not and did not want the Word of God to advance and to go forward. But that's not the purpose of the Lord, is it? He made a great declaration on Pentecost that His Word was to go out to all the nations. That's so telling there. And He blessed for His Word to go out. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, Brother Peter speaks about the Word of God and his epistles. And he says this in verse 23 of 1 Peter 1, being born again, not of corruptible seed. We've not been born again, saved by corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the Word of God. So take the Word of God out of the world. Allow the Word of God to go away. Can there be salvation? The Lord has chosen this means of His Word to go forth. And He uses it. Isaiah, we read it near the passage or at the passage that the Lord says His ways are above our ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. And He says, just like the rain comes down on the earth and somehow miraculously causes the seed to grow, the seed being dead, and the rain and the earth causes the seed to, having died, but sprout forth. So His Word works that same way. Without the Word of the Lord, there is no help. That's the reason when Amos, as we study in the book of Amos, that the Lord threatens the nation there that He's going to bring a famine. Not a famine of things to eat, not a famine of food, but a famine of hearing the Word of God. And I tell you what, that is a bad thing. That is a condemnation to a people. Being born again, verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we know that the Word of God is going to span time indeed. But its purpose, the Word of God, His purpose for the Scripture has been to deal with mankind. Once God gave His Word to the earth, to mankind, could it ever be lost or unknown the world over? No, He's going to preserve it. He's going to preserve it, has done so, and will do so. The Scripture goes on here in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. We're just here for a short time. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Men, women, boys and girls, we come and go on the earth. Maybe live 80, 90, 100 years maybe in these days. But the Word of God, it's been given. It's settled in heaven. It's used by the Lord to bring salvation. It's used by the Lord to put in place for judgment. It's used by the Lord to be put in place for condemnation. You know, as our nation, and we've seen it over probably now a couple decades, is the undertaking of the wicked and the deniers of God for our state and federal monuments that had scriptures across the entrances and had scriptures across the doors and in prominent places in the buildings. where they take those scriptures when they remodel and they wipe them away. That'll be a lot to answer for in doing that. Because God has given His Word to mankind for our benefit and for our help. It abides forever. It liveth, His Word liveth and abideth forever. And it is that by which we have been saved. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever, verse 25, and this is the Word by which the gospel is preached to you. I think this gives us a real understanding about the Word of God and this aspect of by His Word, His gospel has been preached to us. Salvation being of the Lord. Salvation being by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good news from God that sinners far away and estranged from God by our sin and our wickedness and our depravity can be brought and made nigh, be brought near, can be rescued by the Savior, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in light of that, hang on to that there in 1 Peter 1:25. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. We're talking about preservation of the Word of God on the earth for mankind to hear and to understand and to see, for the Lord to use to save His people. Hang on to that. Let's take a look over in Galatians chapter 3 and look over here. Galatians 3, verses 8 and 9. In Galatians chapter 3, the apostle's dealing with these churches that have wanted to go after the way of Judaism and add something to Christ Jesus for salvation. They just cannot understand. They do not understand how Christ is the fulfillment of the law in every respect for His people, Jews and Gentiles alike. He says here in Galatians 3, verses 8 and 9, in the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith in the Lord Jesus, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So even all the way back there to Abraham, the promise of the Lord upon Abraham was going to be a blessing to all nations. You know what? There may be some nations yet. We just don't know, but there may be some nations yet that have not been formed. He doesn't say most nations, does he? He says all nations. Okay? So there is when we from the what's presented in the Scripture that with Brother Abraham. So how will the blessing be? Well, from Brother Abraham will be the nation, won't it? His son Jacob and his sons will become the nation of Israel. And what is it that has happened with the nation of Israel? What advantage do they have? Well, to them was first given the oracle of God, the Word of God. Okay. So now through the nation, the Word of God has come to his nation. I mean, from Abraham and the Lord's nation from his grandson, the Word of God has come, and it's not only come to the nation, but it's come unto us. He'll be a blessing to all nations by virtue of that Word, and not only that Word, but the one who is the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, being a Jew himself, right? What greater blessing, what greater gift is there than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior? There is none. And so Brother Abraham is a blessing, is used of the Lord to bless all nations. In thee shall all nations be blessed by the Word of God, by the one who is the Word, the Savior. And then those that believe, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We are blessed with him as he has been blessed. You know what the Lord Jesus says in Mark chapter 13, verse number 10? And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Well, it's going to be published amongst all nations. It's got to be here, doesn't it? How many nations have come and gone, risen and fallen, been gobbled up and divided? And we're not to the end yet, are we? And so by virtue of the promise of the Lord, by virtue of what we read in 1 Peter 1:25, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you, will the Lord not preserve His word? He will, won't He? He will. It's been given for the Lord to lose traction, to be able to preserve His word on this earth, is against His very character and purpose and power, isn't it? You know, I mean, that's just, it cannot be. Because He's got a work and a plan, and He's chosen by His word to do so. All the nations of the earth been formed yet? We just don't know. And because we're here, we can say, evidently not. Evidently not. A nation has not been reached to the satisfaction of the Lord, or there's a nation yet to be born. The Lord knows those things are in His hand. So His word will be preserved. In Matthew chapter 24, in light of this thought here, Matthew 24, verse number 14, the Lord Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations." Brother Peter tells us it's by this word that the gospel is preached, right? Jesus says, "In this gospel, the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come." So you understand, in summary, if the gospel is going to be preached to all nations, and the Lord has a target, the Lord's got a plan and a purpose, if the gospel is going to be preached unto all nations, Peter says it's by this word of God, the scripture, the word of God, that this gospel is preached. And so if the gospel is preached, the gospel is there to be delivered unto all nations, it comes from the word of God. He's going to preserve it. He's not going to be thwarted. And He's going to be merciful and work according to His power. So yes, the Word of God is eternal. And again, we might be tempted to think about that from the heavenly standpoint. All of God and what He's done in regards to the world and creation and salvation of His people and the sending of His Son and His working and His power, His nation, His, the Bible, the Scripture given to us as prophets, as ministers, as people. All that is known in heaven. But His word has been given to mankind on the earth, and He will preserve it for us until the end of the age. I'm not saying that it will go out then, but then He'll begin to wrap things up. In closing, for this thought about the preservation of the Word of God upon the earth, the preservation of the Word of God on the earth, I'd like us to take a look at Psalm 12. Psalm 12. And this takes and just ties up the package. If there's any doubts in our hearts and minds about the Word of God ever having gone out of existence, or not being here in the future, I think that this passage is the passage, along with what the Lord's given us here previously, that sums things up. Psalm 12, verses 6 through 7. "The words of the Lord are pure words, which we have read. They are pure. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." First time. Second time, pulled off that dross. Third time, a little less dross, but nevertheless, there were some pulled that off. It's getting purer and purer. It as that silver is refined, it's costing some of the silver that comes with the dross. That amount of silver is becoming more and more valuable, more and more precious, and the Word of God is more precious, more eternal, more pure than silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. I tell you what, that's a high standard. Really doesn't mean a lot to you and me today in our culture, but in the day of the psalmist, they say, whoa, that's a bunch. Verse 7. These words, these pure words, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That wraps it up, doesn't it? They're going to be preserved. The Word of God given to mankind, that we might know the truth about all that we need to know about. He has given it, and He has promised to preserve it. And so, in light of the Word about God being given to those that it was given to, and then it coming down through the different lines of languages and all that, those that maybe look to cast doubt that we don't have the Word of God today. Well, an honest translation, we do have the Word of God today, don't we? We do. We don't have to be bashful about that. We don't have to be fearful about that. The Lord has promised to preserve His Word. And may the Lord help us to be wise and understanding regarding it, and understanding about how the Lord blessed to bring it even to this English language that we have. He's faithful. He's able. He has and will preserve His Word.